go to prayer. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful, Father, this morning, this evening, as we come, Lord Jesus, just to worship you a little while. And Lord, we invite you to come and be among us and speak, Lord. Father, there's just a few people here, but Lord, as long as you're here, that's all that matters. Father, if you would just come and anoint each one to hear and anoint me to speak, and Father, just to have your way, Lord, that only you can do it, Lord Jesus. And Father, all our efforts mean nothing, and we're not here to make efforts. We're just here to believe, Father. So help us now, Lord, to hear your voice. Lord, get rid of the unbelief. Get rid of the doubts and fears and the worries and the stress. And Lord, we just put all these in your hand and say, Lord, take this, I pray. That we can just focus on you tonight, Lord. Just for a few minutes here, if you would do this for us, we'd be so appreciative, Lord, that you would come and be with us. Help us now, Lord. I ask this in your name. Amen. If you turn in your Bibles to Acts, the 24th chapter, we're going to read a couple verses and then be seated. Hope everyone's having a wonderful week. It is a wonderful week, I tell you what. Amen. God bless you. Acts 24, we'll start at verse 12. This is Paul speaking. He said, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city, neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. You may be seated. He said, now the things they're accusing of me, some of these things that stirring up the people, causing problems, whatever. He said, that's just not true. It's not true at all. Now this I'll confess, there is one thing that I am guilty of what they're accusing. Now they're accusing me of heresy. And I say, yes, according to their definition, I'm a heretic. Because he said, this I confess, that after the way which they call heresy, that's how I worship God. What they say is blasphemy is the way I worship. I worship the God of my father, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. So he said, now they are not believing all things written in the law and in the prophets. They're believing it according to their own ideas, their own interpretation, their own religion. And he said, but I'm going to worship God the way I believe him to be, which is to believe all the law and all the prophets. Now, how do you go about believing all the law and all the prophets, brother and sister? It is in your day when that word is manifest, you accept it. That's all you have to do. You don't have to get in there and get a college degree on how to study and know everything all the prophets said and how to keep all the laws and study this message like it's some kind of an education. That's not what he's talking about. That's what they have wanted. And to not do that is heresy. Amen. Let's turn somewhere else in our Bibles while we're getting started. Why don't you turn to Matthew? Matthew 5. Tonight I want to speak on the thought, fulfilling the law. Fulfilling the law. I was listening to a preacher on the radio several weeks ago, and he was going on and on about how we have not done away with the law. Jesus did not do away with the law. You have to keep the law. You have to keep the law. And I liked the direction he was going, but he never got past that. And after a while, I just turned to station because I was kind of like getting irritated, like, okay, but what's the next step, brother? That's where we wasn't going. He might have got there, I don't know. But brother and sister, we're going to find out that, you know, people say, well, we've done away with the law. Well, not in the way most people think. When people say we've done away with the law, they say we have no more holiness, we don't have to follow any rules anymore, we just do what we want to do because we're born again. Everyone's born again in the whole world, aren't they? And you become your own God and you set your own moral standards because we've done away with the law. That's not the way it says in the Bible. Matthew 5:13, Jesus speaking, he said, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So he said, now listen, you have been called to a special purpose. You're salty. Means people want what you have. You make them thirsty for something. And then he said, now you're also the light of the world. And he said, no one lights, puts a light and then puts it in a closet or hides it in a bush. You put it up. He said, you're a city on a hill so people can see it. And that's why God gives you the Holy Spirit, so you can be the light, so people can see light. He said, let your light so shine before men that men may see your good works and glorify you for living such a holy life. Something's wrong with that, isn't it? That's why we run into problems so many times, because we were trying so hard to project such a great image of Christ and such a holy life, and we're trying as hard as we can to put it out there so everyone can see, oh, look what a great message believer I am. Whatever. See, if we are doing this right, then we allow Christ to shine through us, and he gets all the glory. It's him. And this is why, brother and sister, Israel got the law. God gave them the law through Moses, and they could not keep it. They could not. They tried. They could not keep it. God accepted it when they were sincere, but they could not keep it. They kept falling and backsliding because they proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that a human being in a fallen condition, which we're all born in, cannot be righteous. You can't. Haven't you tried? Yeah, we have. We've tried. We've tried and we've failed. We've failed. And he said, let your light so shine that people can see your good works. And then, oh, I got to live these good works. And then what happens? You don't do it. Now, all of a sudden, you're approaching. People look at you and say, you're no different than any other denomination of Christians. You're the same as everyone else. Why would I go to your church? You don't even have a basketball team. But he didn't say to glorify yourself. He said so your Father in heaven can be glorified. And how in the world are you going to do that? How can you live a life that people glorify God because they see you? Only if they see the light. But now we run into another problem. Was Paul shining the light? Was Paul shining the light? What did they do? They hated him. Those religious people, those message believers of the day, hated Paul. Because he was shining the light. He said, I worship the God of my fathers. Give glory to him. They call it heresy. But for the believers who recognize the light, it's light. What happened when Jesus came? The light shines so bright, the darkness hates the light and has to try to put it out. So they accused him of blasphemy and they killed him. Recognize, brother and sister, that we're dealing with different classes of people when we go through this life. And you're going to live the life and you're going to be a Christian and Christ is going to manifest him through you. But people are going to react different. And we don't know who is who. They are going to react. Some people are going to look at you and love you for seeing Christ. And some people are going to look at you and see something different and not even care less. And some people are going to look at you and hate you for it. Because your light that you shine exposes their darkness. Ain't that something? I think it's amazing. Let me keep reading here. Verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Let's bring this down to today, brother and sister. People say, just listen to tapes, just listen to tapes. And we say, no, don't just listen to tapes. We're not trying to destroy the prophet. We're not destroying the law of the prophets. We are come to fulfill what the prophet said. Amen. That's the whole point, brother and sister. Otherwise, you're just keeping the law. Let me turn to something here. Let me read this to you. 2 Corinthians. Paul speaking. He said, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. Able ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So he said, we are here to minister the New Testament, not the old law, the New Testament. What Jesus said, he's come to fulfill it. But he said, we're not here to take this message of the day, the New Testament, and just teach the letter. He said, I didn't come to minister to you the letter. I came to minister to you the Spirit. The Spirit of the letter. Jesus, at one point, he said, my words are spirit and life. Now, if all you are doing is taking this message and preaching the letter, it is killing people. But when it's the voice of God speaking through that letter, through that, that is the word of God, it's the voice of God, then the word becomes life. But you can't do that on your own. It's got to be the voice of God speaking. How many times have you heard a tape and you've heard a tape, you heard it over and over, and then one time, all of a sudden, just something in there just speaks to you. Scripture's the same thing. You've heard the preachers preach many times, and one time, Brother Jerry preaches something, and all of a sudden, it's like, oh my goodness, that's just the most profound thing I ever heard. And yet, if you went back, you'd probably hear him preaching 100 times before. What was great about this time? It was your time to hear that word and have it manifest to you, because Christ said, this is your day to hear this today if you will hear my word. Sir. Amen. That's why I said, I bring it to your remembrance. You already knew it, but now it was your time. It was your time to be set free. It was your time to recognize that part of Christ. It was your time to surrender that part of you. It was your day. Amen. Boy, that's exciting when that happens. And you'll walk out of the service and say, man, wow, what a service. And other people will come and say, yeah, it was pretty good. That's nothing but against them, but it was your day. Right. This was your time for that word. God came to you individually. Amen. I like it when he does that when it's my time. Yes, sir. Now, sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it scalds a little bit, but you walk out of there and say, I know that was God speaking. So I'll accept it. You know, every time I've done that, I've never regretted it. Ain't that amazing? I have never yet regretted humbling myself and accepting the word. I've regretted not accepting it sometime. So Paul said, we're not here preaching the letter. We're not ministering to you the letter, but the Spirit. What's the difference? The difference, basically, brothers and sisters, to come down to this, is the minister born again? You've got to start there. You have to start there. And if you start there, then God can speak through you. The seed comes through the body, and then it goes out there, and it finds that person it was ordained for that time. And he said, my word will not return to me void. It's going to accomplish what I sent it for. Because he knows it had the right kind of ground to fall into when he sent it. Fulfill the law. Brother Bram said he came to magnify the law. He said like this. He said, you know, we're going to get to it in a little bit. Let me just keep reading. He said, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now, you can say, I believe the prophet. I believe the message of the hour. Let me tell you something. Until every word of that message is fulfilled, it will not pass away. Everything is going to happen what was prophesied in that message. Now, you can sit there and say, I believe it. But brother and sister, it's time we're looking around and seeing what is being fulfilled. Because that's Christ for our day. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. In verse 20, he just lays it to the leather. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Except you are holier than the Pharisees and the scribes, and brother and sister, nobody on earth could live holier than they did. Nobody could live more righteous than they did, and yet he said, you got to do better than that. Well, you said, well, Jesus, it's impossible. He said, no. It's not impossible. It's your inheritance. It's what you will do. It's what you ordained. Didn't the Bible say you ordained to good works? Well, then how do I go about this? I got to pray more than them. I got to live holier than them. I got to... No. We're missing again. Now you're going up to the letter. Because as holy and as righteous as they lived, they were lost. Why? Because they didn't live a holy enough life? No! Because they rejected the word in their hour. That's what makes them right. What made Abraham righteous? God spoke to him. He said, I believe that. God said, you're righteous. God did not get out his ruler and say, okay, now bring Sarah out here. Let me measure how long her skirt is. Let me measure how long her hair is. Let me measure how, what did you all say? You know, what is this? Oh, did you tell a lie? You're out, Abraham. No. Righteousness comes by believing the word. When the voice of God speaks to you, you say, I believe that, I'll accept that. And sometimes you do it without even realizing it. Yes, you do. How many times have you walked out of the church and gone out here and the next day or two you're doing something and you don't even know why you're doing it? Because what happened is the word of God spoke to you, it changed you because you accepted it, and now it's making a difference, it's fulfilling the law, it's fulfilling the prophets, it's fulfilling the message of the hour, and you don't even know what's going on. It's true, isn't it? I know it's true because some of you have told me these kind of testimonies. And then God says, this is what was happening to you. What? Oh, my goodness. I didn't realize that. I didn't know why I was doing it. Yeah. Who's getting the glory then? Take glory to yourself then. I didn't even know what I was doing. I didn't know what I was saying. I don't know what's going on. You cannot keep the law good enough. You cannot follow the message. You cannot believe the message well enough. But you can believe when the voice of God speaks through the message. That's what he's looking for. That's how he magnifies. He takes all, he magnifies. But look, someone can, you know, the sister, she can dress so well. The brother, you can live so well. And you can just conduct yourself in a way that, you know, everyone look at you and say, what a lovely brother. What a lovely sister. What a child of God. And yet all of that can be in your own ability. Your own ability, then how are you going to fulfill? How are you going to magnify it? It's when you quit in your own ability, you relax, you surrender this to God and say, okay, now you take this and you make me holy and let it be your holiness.
That's right. Amen.
My. And you talk about a weight off your shoulders. Oh my goodness, when you start walking around with the weight, oh, I gotta try harder, I gotta, you just stop right there. I'm not trying hard enough, I'm not doing this enough, I gotta really just rededicate, oh, come on now, oh, just stop. Because when you did that, God said, okay, I'm gonna step back. You're gonna go, you're gonna fall, you're gonna come crawling back to me. Why not just drop that burden right now? Instead of struggling another however far you're going to go before you run out of strength again. Remember the last time you ran out of strength and you couldn't keep going? It's going to happen again. Well, how do you know? Because you're bearing your own burden. Throw your burden over on the one who's the burden bearer. Samuel.
said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Obedience is better than sacrifice. What is he talking about? Remember the rich young ruler? He came running up to Jesus. He said, "Good master, what can I do? What can I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus straightened everything out right there. He said, "Why you call me good? No one's good but God." So he said, "Okay, we're on the same page now, right? You recognize who I am." He's established that right off the bat. I'm not just your regular run-of-the-mill preacher. You call me good? Okay, now who is good? All right? Then he said, "Keep the law." He said, "I've done all this from my youth." Jesus knew he had done it. And if he had done all that, he had followed the law, he had kept all the what the preachers told him, and yet he would say, "I know something's missing. Something's still not right. There's still a thirst in my heart. There's something I just can't find a satisfaction to it. And I know you're a good man. I know you're God. And you're the very Son of God." And he might not have the revelation, but he knew he was talking to deity. And Jesus looked at him and he projected love to him so that this man had no excuse, because he was in that presence and he knew there was something different. He said, "Yeah, you've done all this." He said, "There's one thing you're missing." He said, "You love the world too much." He said, "Give up yourself, die to yourself, and come follow me." Because I can satisfy that thirst. I can satisfy that longing. I am the thing you are thirsting for. I am the thing you are longing for. Hallelujah. Have you ever been there? You're thirsting and you fell down and there was a spring of water springing up there and you drank and you said, "Oh my goodness, don't ever let me leave here." He had the righteousness that rich young ruler couldn't find. It was there for his taking, and all he had to do was say yes. Oh, what a decision he made. What a decision. And he said he left sorrowful because he loved the world more than he loved God. He had great possessions. He walked away. The truth was standing there in flesh, and he did not receive a love for the truth. He walked away, and God turned him over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie. "I'm okay. I'm following the law. He was a good man. He didn't go out and become a reprobate in the eyes of the world. In the eyes of God, he did. He still kept the law. He still followed the rules. He still went to synagogue. He still built the temple. He still did all this thing. He contributed. He was a great leader in the community. And you know how, I wonder how many people ever know that he actually was in the presence of Jesus and rejected and walked away, because his life didn't change. In fact, it got more blessed. Isn't that amazing? How many people have you seen walk away from the word to this day and go out and continue to be a message believer, continue to be blessed? It's kind of scary, because that man went to hell. "Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter in the kingdom of heaven." Then he went on, he said, "You have heard this said by them of old times, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment." This is the law, right? But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. So it used to be, he said, if I went and killed Brother Paul, then I'm going to be judged. But he said, now I'm magnifying it. Now if I just hate him, I'm in danger of the judgment. It become much more intense, much more responsibility. Whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, which shall be in danger of the council, whoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Just the disrespect, it's sinful. Why? How does God, he used to hold us to this level under the law, your own ability to keep it. Now he holds you to a level clear up here. And we couldn't even keep the law down here. How are we going to keep the law up here? Because now he gives you the ability, he gives you the indwelling spirit to allow you. Now, oh my goodness, look. Why did Jesus follow the law? Why did he follow the word? Why did he not fall into sin? Why did he take the word and defeat Satan at every turn? Why? Because it was his nature. His nature was not fallen. And brother and sister, when you get a new nature, that new nature loves righteousness. That new nature loves God. It loves to be righteous. It loves to be holy because it knows when you do something wrong, you grieve the Holy Spirit away. And that's a horrible place for a born-again Christian. Horrible place. Sometimes I get so busy. A lot of times unnecessarily. But I get busy and I don't take time to pray. I don't take time to read the way I should. I don't take time just to be with God. And a couple of days like that, and all of a sudden I'm realizing I'm kind of like got the, you know, I'm just kind of feeling down and like whatever. And I think, well, what's wrong with you? And I recognize, well, yeah, duh. What have you been spending your time on? Running on doing this, chasing that, disentertainment, that, busyness, whatever it is. But I'm not spending time with God. And so I start getting further away. And it just comes so easy. So much of the stuff is so necessary, some is, some isn't. But when I don't spend time with God, I find myself, my joy just seeps away. And then I'm like kind of laying around like, I don't know what to do. I don't feel like doing anything. It's just too simple. Too simple. But when the voice of God speaks to you and you recognize it and you accept it. Now let me tell you something. You don't, it's not always, okay, now that was the voice of God. Now I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to believe that. No. You just come to church. You sit there and you believe. You say amen. And something inside you says amen to the word. You just accept it and you walk out and God just does the word. See, otherwise you're trying to do too much yourself again. And sometimes God will say something to you, it just quickens you in the spot, and it's like, man, wow. And other times, you walk out, and like a day later, you're in, oh my goodness, did you hear what he said? You know what I'm talking about? You can't put God in like always doing it one way or the other. He gets in his own channel. Following rules. For the sake of following the rules. It's just following rules. It's not holiness. If your inner nature doesn't desire God, if your inner nature doesn't love God, and you do this out of love for God, then you're not a Pharisee. We're just Pharisees. And it's not enough. Let me read a couple of quotes of what happens when we have our righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees. when we are fulfilling the message of the hour. That's what Jesus, he said, I'm not destroying the law, I'm fulfilling it. That's what we're doing. We're not destroying the message, we're fulfilling it. See how that works? It's the same thing. This is how, I hope when I read this, you hear this and you say, yeah, this is how it is for me. He said, God had called Moses. He didn't want to go. Those prophets had such things to do till it was a hard thing to do. They didn't want to go. They didn't want to be going out and be scorned at. They wanted to have fellowship, to go in with the rest of them, to go along with the brothers. He said, there was a prophet, I forgot who it was. He said, I don't want to do this, but my whole heart will catch a fire. He said, fire in my bones, I believe is how he put it. God has spoken, I must deliver it. Whether they liked it or not, whether they crucified him, whether they stoned him, whatever it was, God has spoken in his heart. He must say it not to be different, but to be obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. See, it was in his heart. He must do it. It was his life. He couldn't hold it. Brother, sister, that's what it has to be for you and I. Now, he's talking about a prophet. He has to take the word. But just living your life is something you do because you can't help it. It's just in there. And when you're not doing it, you are grieved. There's something wrong. There's something not right. And you need to get back to that place of joy and peace you had. That has become your nature. It's not you putting on something. It's your nature inside of you. It's that I've got to have this. I remember what it was like to be drinking from that fountain. I remember what it was like to be led beside the still waters. I remember the green pastures. Where are they now? I got to get that back. And when you're there, you start realizing that I got to stay here because this is what I was born for. This is worth living for. This is worth dying for. And so you start being jealous of that and envy, not envy, but like protecting it. And Satan comes with his temptations. He said, well, why don't you just do that? Just a little bit of this. He said, no, you're crazy. I lost my desire for that. Your old flesh hasn't. Now, you know Satan's going to jump up and say, oh, really? If you lost your desire for it, how come you're still tempted? Shut up. That's the dumbest argument there is. It's just ridiculous because, brother and sister, you are always going to have that temptation in your flesh. How many times did Brother Jerry preached it? He used to preach it all the time. One time he said, you're not going to be Superman. At the time, I thought I knew what he was talking about. Now I think I know what he's talking about. But what is it? You keep growing in this grace. You keep growing in the knowledge of the Lord and who he is, his characteristics. And you love him more. And it's like, I know what is driving me. Is it a battle? Yeah. How many times have you heard that Brother Branham talking about that Indian? He said he had just received Christ. And he said, how's it going? He said, as good as bad. He said, what do you mean? He said, I got two dogs fighting inside, a black dog and a white dog. He said, who wins? He said, it's whoever I feed. He was born again, brother and sister, but you still had that old black dog in there trying to take over. That's just part of the battle. You want to go to heaven or not? Pick up your sword and start cutting that dog up. Oh, that dog looks a lot like you when you look in the mirror, doesn't it? Yes, he does. See, it was in his heart. He must do it. It was his life. He couldn't hold it. There is something, a pulsation that pushed them. How many times have you felt that pulsation and you went out and said something or did something or didn't even know what you were doing, but something inside was just driving you to do it? That's the same thing. You say, well, these are great prophets of God. Yes, they were great prophets of God and you're his bride. He esteems you very highly. He has something for you to do. They couldn't bless it or curse it. God had so much complete control of them till he was their voice, their action. You see, yeah, those are the great prophets of God. Hang on a second. You want to just put it off on the prophet? I'm sorry, he doesn't allow it. He said, give me a church that's so completely anointed with God till their every action and move is thus saith the Lord, right in that Shekinah glory, I'll show you a Messiah, anointed one of God, standing upon the earth. That means you. He just said, when you are totally surrendered to God, you are a Messiah standing on this earth. That is how you exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. You know what's exciting about that, beyond what I can always stand? Because that's been prophesied for the church, for this last day, bride of Christ. That is your inheritance. And you're not getting the rapture without that, so you might as well just plan on being there. Just set the doubt aside. Well, I don't think I can ever be there. I'll just kind of get in underneath that. Not in this age, you won't. That is what is required to go in the rapture. Oh, Brother Phil, I'm a long ways from it. Okay, well, that's why you're here. That's what the ministry is for. Because that doubt that jumps in and says, I could never be that surrendered to God. I could never be that. You know what? You're just listening to the wrong preacher when you hear that. Don't listen to that. It's his job to preach you that to you. But brother, sister, what does the word of God say? Now, let me tell you something. Can we just bring it really close? The rich young ruler heard, die to yourself and follow me. And he didn't do it. Well, that's the same thing you're being told. This is what? You want to inherit eternal life? That's what's required of you. You died to yourself until you are so, let me just read it, till every action and move is thus saith the Lord. Amen. You want to inherit eternal life? You want to go in the rapture? That's the requirement. He said, I'll show you Messiah standing upon the earth. Well, what's that mean, Brother Phil? I just need to sit at home and just read my Bible. And every time I say something, I got to make sure I don't say anything unless it's thus saith the Lord. Honey, thus saith the Lord, is dinner ready? Now you're just a Pharisee. Of course that's not what he's talking about. Quit trying to make yourself something. Quit trying to be religious. Quit trying all this stuff. Go about your life. Live a normal life. And when God speaks, accept it and be changed, and you're going to find yourself walking right into this that he's talking about. Why? Obedience is better than sacrifice. You obeying the word of God, and that's going to produce exactly what needs to be produced. And that's the only way it's going to happen. Obey the word. You can stand here tonight and say, I just don't know if I can ever be there. You're right. You can't. And if you keep thinking that, you won't. You won't. You've got to think God's thoughts. He said, they that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Then when the human element goes out, the human element goes out, and the Spirit of God fills that vacancy where you empty yourself, then will be when the church, in its power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, will walk in his steps, in his power, in his thoughts, in his being, in his moving. You see what I mean? That human element, that old nature, when you died to that and you allow the Holy Spirit to come in, and now you're walking, you're talking, you're thinking, and you're doing all the things that God wants you to do. You say, boy, I'll be Superman then. No, you'll be just like you are now. Let me ask you this. Was Brother Branham, this is going to sound bad, I don't care. Was Brother Branham Superman? Did he make mistakes? Was he tempted? Did he struggle with his flesh? Did he struggle with bad attitudes? Did he struggle with feeling down and depression and all those things? Don't look much like Superman, did he? What happened when the anointing came on? Was he Superman then? Yeah. Oh my goodness, why? Because he had, what made him look that way, he had that prophetic gift. Come on, amen. Do you have a prophetic gift? I don't. I'm not a prophet.
But yet, I can get in that same place, in that same anointing, but the same Jesus Christ, the same surrendered life that Brother Branham had, and he can use me the way he wants to use me. He'll use you the way he wants to use me, you, and that's all he's requiring of you. That's all he's requiring. Don't go and set up, I got to start doing this, I got to be whatever. You just got to be yourself. You see what I mean? He said, then your thoughts, listen to this, then your thoughts will become words, and the words will become material. That's when the church is in its power. Oh, what's he saying? Get that right attitude so your thoughts are right. And then when your thoughts are aligned with the word, your thoughts are going to become words, and it's him speaking through you, and that words become material. You want to see someone saved? That's how you do it. You want to see yourself closer to God? That's how you do it. You want to serve God? That's how you do it. I do not understand that a millionth of what I should, or what I'm going to, I should say. But brother and sister, it all starts with your head getting on your thoughts, and you hear the voice of God and you believe it. And no matter what Satan says against you, you say that's a lie, because the word says that I will be in oneness with Jesus Christ. Him and me together, married, bringing forth the life of Christ through this flesh, a Messiah on this earth. That's how you're going to fulfill the word. That's how you fulfill the word for this day. That's why the message came for. Not to produce a church full of people who have nice clothes or look holy. That's not what it's ever for. It was to produce Jesus Christ in flesh. And this is the standard. This is the standard. He said, I believe it's on the road. That when the church will be so wrapped in Christ, the Holy Spirit, mankind so away from themselves that they don't see themselves. Oh my goodness. Do you see what's going to happen? The things you're struggling with, one day you're going to look at that in this flesh. You're going to look at that and say, that doesn't bother me anymore. I heard from different people that saying the last several services on Sunday, Brother Jerry's been preaching about love. It's having such an effect on people. It's literally changing their lives. That's what I'm talking about. People who used to fuss are not fussing anymore. People who couldn't get along are best friends. It's that simple. Why? Because you're dying to this old nasty person right here and saying, come on, let's keep going. We have a common enemy out there, and it ain't your brother and sister. It's yourself and the devil.
Right, absolutely.
My. Oh, my. When I see the things I struggle with, and I see God moving that and changing that, I could just give testimony after testimony. Brother and sister, it just drives me crazy, so I can't express it. I see Christ through the preaching of the word. The simple thing like be nice. Oh, that's too simple. I mean, the Pharisees, you know, the kind old priest. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit changes you and you die to yourself. That kind of priest was full of pride. He was full of, look how good I can live. You died to that old thing and you let just the kindness, the brotherly kindness, the brotherly love of Christ come in your life. And you let him be that niceness. That's what I'm talking about. You know what you do for us? First of all, just stop defending yourself. That is what God this week has been nailing me down. He said, you stop defending yourself. I had an orientation class this week, one of the best classes I've ever had, because it was so challenging to me. I had people in there saying some of the most off-the-wall stuff I have ever heard. I don't care if they hear this or not. It was off the wall. I had a couple of them in there defending the Muslim practice of killing your daughter if she has sex. It just blows my mind. I stood there, I looked at one girl, I said, "You're scaring me." I said, "That scares me how you could think that." I'm thinking, where are we at? Where have we got to? And you know what I got to do this week? Time after time, I just shut my mouth. And sometimes I didn't. And God rebuked me. He said, "Shut your mouth. You don't have to defend what you believe or what you think or whatever. You're not going to change their minds. It ain't about you, Phil." You know what's really exciting about this whole thing is how many times over the years I've looked at that and I thought, you know, stop doing this. Stop defending yourself. You know, just let it go. But you know what the difference is this time? God's doing it. How? Through the word that's been preached the last couple Sundays. Be nice. Amen. Love. You think those people are going to change more if I rebuke them and say, you're crazy? Or if they see some love through me that, you know, there's something different. Boy, it's hard not to say anything when you hear crazy stuff like that. So let it go. This one woman said, she made a comment. She said, "Guns serve no good purpose." And that was too much. I spouted off. It was good for me. It was good for me. Why? Because I was going through the battle. I was being led by the Spirit, telling me what to do. His strength. He knows I can't shut my mouth. But he required it of me. So he preached the word and said, "Now believe this word, take this word and go forward believing it. I'm going to do this." Man, Brother Paul. You know how much freedom that is? When someone can say something like that to you and you just sit there and smile at them. Yes, it's victory. And inside, you feel like a hand grenade went off in your emotions. Boom! Oh my goodness. And outside, you're just standing there with a smile on your face. Okay. Can't wait to get out of here. I need to go vent. But you know what happens? I didn't feed the black dog. He got weaker. And the next time, he'll be weaker. And the next time, he'll be weaker. My. You think it's that simple, Brother Phil? Well, the word says it is. You don't have to believe me. What does the word say? Well, what does the word manifest? Is this the manifestation of Christ in this day? If it's not, then forget what I'm saying. Walk out of here and say, "Phil, just shut up." If this is Christ being manifested, then just accept it. Believe it. He said, "I believe it's on the road that when the church will be so wrapped in Christ, the Holy Spirit, mankind so away from themselves." Away from themselves. They're dying. They don't see themselves. They don't have no thought but to serve God, and their thoughts move on. They refuse the things of the world. They just move in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, fulfill the law of Christ. Then the love of Christ in the human heart, moving in the Holy Ghost, that great, wonderful church will go forth with power and deity. He's talking about you. Okay, what he just said? That's you. Is that all right? Oh, my. There's no way we believe that. Because we hear that, and he said, "We've heard that for years, Brother Phil. Deity and flesh, yes. It's a nice doctrine. We believe that because Brother Branham said it. That ain't putting you in the rapture." "Well, I believe it because Brother Branham said it." Good. That don't put you in the rapture. You get to the place where you believe it because you see it happening in you.
How do you know you're going in the rapture? Brother Branham said, how many times? He said, you need to know that if only, you knew only one person was going out of your city, you're that one person. Well, you can believe that as a doctrine, and it won't do you a bit of good. But how do you believe that as a revelation is when you see the great, wonderful church go forth with power and deity, because deity will be revealed in human beings. And you see that in you. And you recognize that when the Christ leaves the earth, he has to take you with him because he's in you. He doesn't live in you now and then say, okay, I'm leaving. Sorry, you're out. He don't do that. Brother Brown said, he's not an Indian giver. You give something and he gives it back, takes it back. No. Once he's given you the Holy Spirit, you're stuck. You're sealed. Sealed! That means when he leaves, he has to take your soul with him. That's how you know if you're going in the rapture. That's when it becomes a revelation. And brother and sister, I so believe we are so close. So close, and we believe it. We're going to the rapture. We see what God's doing. But we're going to so close, brother and sister, we're going to start recognizing who we are to such an extent that, brother and sister, Satan coming, throwing this down, you're going to say, get away from me. The word says this, and here it is. What is that? He said, defeat him by the word. Take your quote and see if you defeat him. Quote and quote. Take the scripture and quote the scripture. How often do you defeat them? When you take the scripture that's been revealed to you, and that's how you defeat them. It's the revelation of it. I've taken scripture and fought the devil. He just kicked me around. It was a letter that killeth. But since sometime God reveals something to me, and I take that and I go to the devil with that, and you should see him run. It's true. If you haven't done that, it's about time you did. It's about time you take this word and stand on your privileges and on your heritage and say, this is mine. This righteousness is mine. Deity being revealed in human beings by the Holy Spirit, bringing to pass the thought of their mind. Why? Because you've taken on the mind of Christ, and his thoughts are your thoughts. And when you have that thought, you know it's from him, and you speak it, and it comes to pass. People have been looking all over, when are we going to speak squirrels into existence? Oh my goodness, brother and sister. The Holy Spirit in you and your mind so surrendered to him that your thought is his thought, and you speak it, and whatever you speak is going to happen. It becomes material. You. You say, am I going to speak things into existence? I don't care. I don't care if I do or not. I just want to fulfill my part of the word. If it's my job to do that, to stop a storm, let me stop it. If not, let me rejoice in speaking through someone else. But brother and sister, I just want to find out what is my God's thought for me so I can have the mind of God. And so when I am thinking his thoughts, I know that that is his word. And I can speak it and it's done. It's really that simple. And you know what he says sometime? You get his thoughts and you walk by and say, Brother Gene just been praying for you, buddy. And you walk on. Well, that wasn't very much. Tell God his voice isn't very much. That's to create a power, to create an atmosphere for Brother Gene to defeat the devil today. Because he's having a hard time. It really works that way, brother and sister. You know the only thing keeping us from it right now? Oh, it's happening. Don't think, one day it's going to happen. No, this stuff is happening right now, brother and sister. But we're going to get more and more that way the more we surrender and the more we get the thoughts and the mind of God in our hearts. But the only thing that is keeping it from just taking us in a rapture and getting us out of here right now, brother and sister, is our doubt and our unbelief in our minds. It ain't in your hearts. If your heart is sealed away, there's no unbelief down there. But in our minds, we struggle and we fight and we fuss and we fume and we doubt and we doubt and we doubt.
And we need faith. And how does faith come? By hearing the word. And so you come to church. And God speaks. And exposes the faith, the lack of faith, exposes the doubt and says, why are you disbelieving this about yourself? Why are you disbelieving what I'm telling you? Why are you disbelieving that you're a Messiah? Why are you disbelieving that you have the mind of Christ?
Amen. Well, Satan can prove to me I don't. There you go. Hold on to that doubt. It's gonna get, you're going to get rid of that too. The word's going to get rid of that. Amen. You know that those thoughts that he sends in, you do not have to accept him as yours. Isn't that amazing? I'm so glad Brother Branham said that. He said, Satan sends doubts into your mind all the time. They're not your thoughts.
Amen.
Unless you let them be. Right. If you allow them to be. And if, you know, the dangerous ones are the ones that stir up your emotions. Let me quit. Let me say this and then we'll quit. They stir up your emotion. Someone says something to you and he comes in, he stirs up. You ought to be, he just disrespected you. He just disrespected you. Your feelings should be hurt.
Well, my feelings are hurt.
Gotcha. I'm sick of that. I'm sick of that, brothers. I'm sick of Satan, like Cody said. That was easy. Satan just pushes the button. That was easy. Has someone walk by and say something and I get all offended. That was easy. You little crybaby, Phil. Grow up. I remember things happened. I thought, well, that ain't, they're just disrespecting me. Hey, right. You're not going to disrespect me. And then I turn around and say, well, did I earn their respect? Well, whose fault is it then? It's so easy sometimes to push those buttons, and he knows where to do it. And then you want to say, yeah, I believe I'm a son of God. I believe this. And then he turns around, and the way you acted yesterday? And what does that do? That doubt sits right there. That's why he said, when you get that human element gone, you get so far away from yourself. Recognizing yourself just doesn't matter. To the rich young ruler, that self was everything. And it took him to hell. But I am convinced of better things concerning you. Things that pertain to life and freedom, free from that old self. I get down on myself, Brother Phil. I just feel, you know, this, whatever. Yep. That's the battle that God has ordained for you to go through, to die to yourself, and so you quit worrying about yourself and put other people first. Well, that's hard to do. Well, that's why it's a battle. Am I ever going to get to that point where I'm not troubled by these things? No. The day of the rapture, you're probably going to struggle with depression or some kind of hurt feelings or something like that, brother. Since you're going to struggle, someone's going to insult you and you're cut you off in traffic or whatever it is. Well, I don't feel like Superman right now. Jesus, God's going to say, well, you better start believing because it's time to go home. But you know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen? We're going to see those raptured saints. We're going to see these people are gone before, and they're going to be walking among us. We're going to be walking among them, and then someone hurts your feelings, and you're going to look over and then see my mom and say, yeah, I'll get over that. Hallelujah! Oh, my. This stuff makes us happy. I sure hope it does. It makes me happy. This is reality. You're going to fight those devils all week at work. So many things. And you know, I'm trying to quit, I promise you. I was going to quit in 30 minutes, half. So many things are not bad. You know what I mean? They just keep you busy. And that's where that soft Laodicean living gets us. We'll get over that too. How? Just by falling in love with God more and more. Jesus Christ, everything to us.
and as he reveals himself to us, the more we'll love him. Amen. Y'all doing all right? Fulfilling the law. In our day, we would call it fulfilling the message of the hour. That most message believers have turned into a law of following rules, following religion, doing this, doing that. We always spend this time doing that. We spend this time doing that. We do this, we do that. It's just following another set of rules. Because human beings prefer law to grace. Because when you take the law and you can keep a law, you can take a little bit of self pride, a little bit, yeah, we are holy. I am doing this, I'm doing that. Just in case grace don't get me through, I'm going to flash what I've done, my righteousness. God would see what I'm doing. And you know what? You would ask those people, and not a one of them would recognize that's what they're doing. Because if they did, they'd quit. But if you don't sit under a ministry to keep your eyes open, you can't help but going to sleep. I must speak for myself. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. Amen. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful, Father, that you would come and speak to us tonight. Father, just taking your word and making it real and encouraging us. Lord, help us all just be determined, Lord, not to go out and try living holy or trying this, but just to believe. That's what you require, Lord, is when the doubts come, recognize it's from Satan and reject it. And when your word comes, recognize it's you and accept it. And when the battle rises, Lord, that we take the right attitude and die to ourselves. You require that, Lord. Oh, won't you just come, Lord Jesus, and just hold us to you tight, Lord. Just love us and just, Father, just pull us up next to you and reveal yourself, Lord. Lord, we don't want to leave your presence. Father, we know the battles are raging. The world calls us crazy. Message believers call us heretics. But you call us bride. Father, that's the voice we want to hear. Thank you, Lord. Thank you again. Bless the ones who could make it tonight, Lord. Strengthen them. Lift them up, Lord Jesus. And I pray for this service on Sunday. Father, you've been preaching so well. Your word has been so real. It's had such a powerful effect on us, Lord. Lord, continue, Lord. Amen. We just want to hear more of you. Help us to come ready Sunday morning here to set aside the things of the world, to lay all the doubts and the fears and the things that would draw our attention away. Help us to lay it aside so that you can speak and we will hear. Again, we thank you, Lord, and we just ask you to bless us now as we go home. Keep us safe. In your name I ask. Amen. Amen. We're just going to dismiss. It's late. And let's sing a song as we go. Can't you see why I am so happy? God bless you. Can't you see why I'm happy?